True freedom is the capacity for acting according to one's true character, to be altogether oneself, to be self-determined, and not subject to outside coercion. And this week's opening quote comes from Coralie Lamont. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. As I've said so many times on this radio show, everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Everything is in reverse. Divide and conquer is the motto, and two of the most effective tools in promoting the divide and conquer strategy is coercion and inversion. And seeing the inversion is really key. As I said, everything is backwards. And the real key is in seeing that. You know, one of the most interesting things about our society is how so many people within Western society believe that they are living within a free society. But thinking about the opening quote, thinking about coercion and living a life free of coercion. I mean, do you like being coerced, ladies and gentlemen? I don't like being coerced. I don't think anybody likes being coerced into doing things that they don't want to do. And yet the so-called free societies that we live in and the system that we live within and the system that we are subject to every single day of our lives is based entirely on coercion. The problem is that most people don't really think about it that way. They don't realize that most of the things that they do in their lives are the result of being coerced into performing these actions. It starts off very early. At a very early age, we get coerced into going to school under threat of punishment. While we're at school, we get coerced into complying with what the teachers are telling us under threat of punishment. When we leave school, we go into the workforce. We have to work because we are coerced into doing so under threat of punishment, under threat of being rejected by society, becoming homeless, perhaps ending up in the prison system. And when we are working at our jobs, we're coerced into complying with the wishes of our boss, no matter how sociopathic they may be, under threat of punishment, i.e. under threat of being terminated, and therefore being placed into a position where we will not be able to collect enough money to pay the cost of being alive. Because, of course, being a modern human being in a so-called progressive society comes with a price tag, and you must exploit that society or exploit other human beings or exploit the environment that you live in order to collect the paper you need in order to pay for the privilege of being governed by people who simply don't have yours or anybody else's best interests at heart. It's all very rational and all very sane, of course. And even if you want to make changes to this situation, so you join the political system, you find that you're coerced into complying by the rules of the political system because you have to join one of the two major parties. Of course, it is a two-party system. You can be an independent, but you really won't get anywhere. And even when you do get to a position within that two-party system, if you do not comply with the wishes of the overlords, i.e. the federal government, then they will in turn coerce you into compliance. For example, the new unelected prime minister we have in this country, Scott Morrison, has put out the word to the state governments that if they protest coal seam gas mining or fracking in their state, or if they prevent it happening in their state, then they will not receive their share of the GST tax that the government extorts from the populace every year. So basically saying, if you don't run your little section of the people farm the way we want you to, then we're going to withhold your share of the booty, of the loot we have extorted from the people this year. So the state governments are coerced into complying with the wishes of the federal government and going against the will of the people they are representing through fear of punishment, i.e. through fear that the government will withhold their payment for the year and they won't get their handout for the year if they don't comply. So the whole thing is based on coercion. And you can look at this on an international level as well. You look at countries that put sanctions against other countries. For instance, we've just seen the United States put sanctions against Iran, reimpose sanctions against Iran, and reimpose sanctions against Russia. Again, it's coercion. For example, they're attempting to penalize the people of Iran for having the government that they have. You know, they'd like to see that government replaced, and so they will make it as hard as they possibly can for the people in the country, hoping that the people will rebel against their government for daring to make it so hard for them by not doing what they're told by the United States. And it's the same with Russia. This is what they're doing. They'll make it difficult for the people, not the government, but the people, in order to get the people to rebel against their government. All subtle forms of coercion. It seems to be all people know. It's most people's entire mentality. It's the way they've been trained to think. Anything they want to get done, they don't do it through cooperation. They do it through competition and via coercion. And they're doing this now with social media as well, more subtle forms of it. You know, the penalties that they give you on platforms such as Facebook, where you will be penalized for saying the wrong thing, your post will be shadow banned or whatever. The penalty they gave my last show on YouTube, they didn't delete the show, but they didn't like what I said in the show. And so they disabled comments, they disabled recommendations, you're not allowed to embed it, you get a warning. So they kind of coerce you into complying. Max, you're speaking a little too close to the truth there, so you need to tone down your message or we're not going to allow people to comment and we're not going to allow people to see your video clip. This is coercion. And they really did do a number on that clip. That clip actually sat on 16,717 views for 2 days, folks. The counter did not move. And I know people were watching it. And even now, after a week, it's only got something like 19,000 views. But you can't even see the view counter anywhere on the website. You can't see it on my channel. You can't see it on the video. You actually have to go into the modified channel section on your page before you can actually see what the view count on that video is. But again, this is a form of coercion. And because people live in this coercive system and they're subject to all forms of coercion in their everyday lives without even realizing it, it filters down into the way they interact with other people, where they tend to coerce other people into compliance all the time. This is what trolling is on YouTube and on Facebook and on channels and on threads that you post as well. It's people attempting to coerce you into compliance. They'll come and insult you, they'll attack you, they'll tell people not to fund you, they'll tell people to withdraw support from you, they'll spread stories about you, all sorts of stuff, all in an attempt to coerce you into their way of thinking. And they do this simply because of the programming that they have been subject to through their lives. Because, as I said, they've been subject to coercion in all its form, in every aspect of their lives, and they simply haven't realized that that's what it is. But anything you're forced to do under threat of punishment is coercion. And if you really want to look at it a little deeper, all these forms of coercion are subtle forms of terrorism, because that's what this society bases its entire education method on. Compliance under threat of punishment. And that is terrorism. As I've said so many times on the show, the Oxford Dictionary definition of terrorism is violence or the threat of violence carried out against civilians as a means of coercion, often but not always, for political reasons. And this is what our society does. This is what our education system does. It's what our business system does. It's what our social system does. And it is what social media is now doing to us as well, only, as I said, in more subtle forms. It is coercion under threat of punishment, and so therefore it is terrorism by definition. Just the fear of being locked out of a platform, fear of losing your channel, fear of losing access to certain things, being told you must comply, do not think outside the box or you will be penalized. This is terrorism, psychological coercion, making people think the way the government dictates you should think and not the way you want to think. Simply not being able to go through your natural thought processes and come up with the natural conclusions that you would normally come to. Being told, oh no, you must think this way and you must come to this conclusion because anything else is unacceptable. And if you do come to any other conclusion other than the one we have dictated, you will be penalized. This is not freedom, folks. And what this does to the human experience, what this does to limit human potential, really is quite profound. You know, in this sort of a situation, you can never have any geniuses. You can never have anybody excelling within the education system, within the business system. People are homogenized. They're taught that everybody's equal. And sure, everybody's equal. Everybody's equal in as much as everybody has equal value, but not all people have equal attributes. Not all people have equal intellect, equal capabilities. But through the subtle use of coercion and training people to always think within the box and not ever to truly express themselves, you effectively homogenize everybody and you limit human potential to an incredible degree, and you do prevent anybody from excelling. You prevent anybody from rising above the flock and expressing the genius that they may possess. It simply can't be done within the type of homogenized system the government is creating. And again, they use inversion to do this very often as well. As I mentioned last week on the show, it may have been one of the reasons they limited the viewing of the show. The fact that when you come into Australia now, you may be asked to surrender your laptop and cell phone. And this is done to protect you from terrorism, to protect Australia's borders from terrorist activity, of course. This is the laws that are being used to allow this to happen. And yet they will threaten you that if you do not comply and do not surrender your laptop and cell phone to them, you may face 90 days incarceration. This, again, is using terrorism against you to allegedly protect you from terrorism. Inversion, folks. You know, the perpetrator of the crime will always accuse the victim of what the perpetrator is doing. A perfect example of this is the actions of Israel. That is a state that has taken inversion to the next level. Even with the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, which is not a defense force, it's an aggression force, which is constantly carrying out acts of aggression and terrorism against the people of Palestine. And if any of the people of Palestine attempt to defend themselves against the terrorism that is meted out to them, they get called a terrorist for doing so. And of course, Israel says it's doing this and it needs to do this because Palestine will not recognize Israel's right to exist, when in fact it is Israel which will not recognize Palestine's right to exist. In fact, the Israelis are even claiming now that there is no Palestine and there never was a Palestine. Perfect case of inversion. The Israeli community attempting to set itself up in Currumbin Valley on the Gold Coast in Australia. This community is disturbing all of the locals in the area, and yet anybody who stands up against the community gets accused of being anti-Semitic and of not simply allowing people to get along with their lives. And yet the community is establishing itself within Currumbin Valley, and it is preventing all the people in Currumbin Valley from getting along with their lives. And anyone who attempts to stop the formation of this community, which will disturb everybody, gets accused of disturbing the community. Another case of inversion. And we see this in so many cases and in so many aspects of our society. The way the police will always show up at a non-violent protest wearing riot gear, they will start violence and then blame the violence on the protesters. Again, it's inversion. This is the way our society works in almost every aspect. Recently, there was a woman who worked at an abortion clinic who was announcing that the abortion clinics were the ones who were promoting sex education in schools because it promoted sexual promiscuity at a young age and gave a good clientele to the abortion clinics. So again, we see it in almost every aspect of our lives. They feed you vaccinations, they tell you to prevent sickness when actually they cause sickness and create a great clientele for the medical industry. It's the same thing. And look at the education system. Perhaps you're a researcher and you've got a really interesting thesis on history. Perhaps you figured out what our real history is and you wish to present it to people. You actually need to go into the education system and get a degree before anyone will listen to you. But if you present any of your thesis while you're in there and you indicate to them in any way that you're going to be thinking outside of the box, you won't get your degree. So you'll be coerced into complying with their way of thinking in order to get your doctorate so that you can get your message out there to begin with. And then if you do get your doctorate and then you put your message out there, if it is too far against what the established norm is and what the academically approved version of history should be, then you risk being sacked from whatever establishment or university you may be teaching at. So the whole thing is based on coercion and it's based on inversion. You know, all of the laws the government tells us it's bringing in to protect our freedoms are actually taking away our freedoms. It's another great example of how they do that. And then when they introduce these laws, they use terrorism against the population in order to allegedly protect them against terrorism. And when you can step back and really begin to see all this, then you really begin to see just how backwards everything is. You know, they tell us that as a civilization, we're actually getting healthier as a species. We're living longer. And yet you look at the figures, you find that the lifespans are actually decreasing. They tell us that people are getting smarter. But you look at the education system, you realize they've been lowering the passing grades and they've been homogenizing everybody and people are getting dumber. The more smart appliances they get, the more they're told that they're more connected and more up with things and more talented and more skill they've got, but actually the more skill they're losing, the more life skills they're losing, the more communication skills they're losing by allowing technology to take care of everything for them. And when you really begin to see just how backwards everything is, and you really start to grasp the concept of how backwards our history is and how everything we've been told about our history is all completely wrong as well. And the concept of them hiding history and the concept of the history that we've got now being patently false and really have only sort of started around about 200 or 300 years ago really becomes a distinct possibility when you start looking at the evidence. You know, recently I've been talking quite a bit about the mud flood that I became aware of when I was in Europe, when I was in Haarlem in Holland, when I saw a couple of those buildings that actually had these extra structures below the foundations. And then when I searched, I found that there are a lot of people exposing this on YouTube as well, in particular one Russian guy. If you want to find out about the mud flood, folks, you'll find a channel by a man called Philip Druzanin, I think is the name of the channel. I'll put a link below in the description on the YouTube version of this. I've actually made contact with him. I've been meaning to have a chat with him and possibly even have him on the show, but I just simply haven't had time. But quite an interesting character, and he's put a lot of research into finding out where this mud flood exists across Europe, and you'll get a great deal of information from his channel. I think he may be a flat earther, so don't hold that against him. You'll still find a lot of good information regarding this mud flood on his channel. So I do recommend you look at that, and again, I recommend that you look at Sylvie Ivanova's New Earth channel if you're interested in the enormous amount of evidence lying around the Earth, which indicates there was a very advanced civilization that existed not too long ago. But again, when you look at the concept of coercion and inversion and how manipulated we are in everything that we're taught and how backward everything is, the concept that our history has been changed and that we are kind of part of this ever-flowing recycling process becomes far more possible and indeed far more probable than anything we've been so far presented with as being true. You know, nothing appears to be what it seems. And this includes every single aspect of our society, folks, every single aspect of our history, every single aspect of what we think reality is. You know, this earth, this realm that we live in, it's a very, very strange place. And the reality is that no models that are presented by anybody are correct. That's an interesting thing. You know, this is why the flat earthers believe they have so much ammunition, because the model that we are presented with for the earth being the globe that we're told it is completely wrong. I'm not saying the earth is flat, because I've done experiments myself which show curvature to be there. But even with that, none of the models that we're given are correct. The globe model that we're given is in no way correct. I myself have had compass anomalies when I've flown on flights, only 10 degrees out or something, but still 10 degrees out is 10 degrees out. Of course, it does depend on where you sit on the plane. The metal of the plane affects the compass, blah, blah, blah. Even metal in ships affects compasses. So it's a kind of an unreliable experiment, but still things are not what we're told. But interesting thing, you know, if you look at a map of the Earth, it simply doesn't add up to be what we're told it is. When you really look at it, there is every indication that they are hiding land, and there's somewhere else that exists on this earth that we simply don't know about because we have not been told that it's there. Now sure, countries look the way we're told they look. They are the shape that we're told they are. I've seen this because I've flown over many, many coastlines, and they look the way they are presented to look on the maps. When you fly across the English Channel, that's the way it looks. When you fly across the Adriatic, that's the way it looks. When you fly across Italy, that's the way it looks. Flying to Australia, that's the way it looks. Same with New Zealand, New Guinea, flying across the United States, flying into Florida, flying across Mexico. All of the coastlines look the way we're told they look. When you look at a map, you look out the plane window, that's the way they look. But is everything in the place that we are told that it is? That's the question. Because there is actually every indication that they're not, and all the maps are wrong. And I know that's going to be a very confrontational thing for people to hear, but really it's just the way it looks. When you really start looking at the maps and you start drawing a few lines, what you find out is that nothing works. And that's for any map, for any model. It doesn't matter whether you're a globe earther, whether you're a flat earther, it doesn't matter what you believe the earth is. When you look at the maps, none of them actually work. For example, looking at the compass points, The compass point for north is 0 degrees. The compass point for due east is 90 degrees. The compass point for due west is 270 degrees. And the compass point for south is 180 degrees. So, for example, if you were to fly from Manhattan, New York, around about that area in the United States, you know, somewhere between Philadelphia and New York, if you were to fly due east from that point at a compass heading of 90 degrees, you would expect, looking at the map of the world, you would expect to arrive somewhere around about Portugal. Keep following that through, you could arrive in Turkey, you could even go as far as China. And that's on a square map of the Earth, the standard map of the Earth that we're given. And it's the same in the Southern Hemisphere. If you were to fly due east, a heading of 90 degrees from Sydney Airport, given the current standard map of the world we're given, you would expect to arrive somewhere in Chile, in South America. Follow that through, and you'll keep going, you'll end up somewhere in Southern Africa. All sounds perfectly reasonable. The problem is that when you punch up Google Earth, if you start drawing a few lines on Google Earth, you find that it doesn't work out that way at all. And if you draw a line on Google Earth and you leave the area of the United States around about Philadelphia, New York, what you find is that you don't go to Portugal, but in fact you cross the equator and end up, if you go far enough, in Madagascar. And the same happens in the Southern Hemisphere. If you trace the line from Sydney due east, you don't end up in Chile. You end up in Guatemala. And if you travel the line far enough through, you can end up around about the Azores or just off the coast of Northern Africa. The very interesting thing is the same thing happens if you go due west from the United States. You can go on a line 270 degrees on Google Earth, draw that line, and you can again end up down as far as Madagascar. The same in Australia. If you draw a line due west from Sydney, you will end up in a region near the Azores. And this does not make any sense at all, ladies and gentlemen. What it indicates is that what we're seeing on Google Earth is completely wrong. Of course, the flat earthers will probably grab this and say, well, look, this means that they're using the flat earth map, but the point is that it doesn't work on the flat earth map either. So both the maps that we're given as the globe version on Google Earth and the equidistant azimuthal map that the flat earthers are using, both of these maps are completely wrong. Either that or Google Earth has no idea what compass points really are and what degrees really are. But seeing as how this is a computer working this out, it seems highly unlikely that that is the case. But what does appear to be the case is the fact that the Earth is a very, very different place to what we are being told that it is. Whether it's bigger, whether it's smaller, whatever it is, we don't know. But what we do know by all the evidence that we've been given is that it is not what we're being told that it is. And again, I know it might be a very confrontational thing for people to think about, but I encourage you to go and punch up Google Earth and try checking out a few compass points and see if they add up to you. Go looking at a normal map, trace these lines out, see where they lead, due east, due west, see where it takes you on a flat map, and then go to Google Earth and trace those same lines at 90 degrees and 270 degrees and see where they take you. And what it will show you is that whatever the truth is, there is something very, very wrong with what we're being told. And hopefully this will encourage the globers and the flatters to put their stuff down with each other and realize that nobody has the answers. Nobody knows the truth. Nobody knows what's going on. But something is most definitely awry. And it's about time we paid attention to it and established the freedom we need to actually put all these answers to rest. This is what I've been suggesting for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen, that we put down all our stuff and realize that the whole system is one big lie. And as soon as we just admit that basic fact and stop arguing about the finer details, details that we can't possibly know the truth of because we're not free enough to know, and actually work to establish the freedom that we need, then we're going to be able to put all of these mysteries to rest and actually move this human experience forward. Because we're getting to the point that we have to, folks. We really are. You know, things are really coming to a head. And the fact that there's so many people talking about our history being false, so many people are talking about Tartaria now. There's so much stuff that's coming out now. So much information is coming to light people are realizing our history is very, very different. And many people are realizing just how significant that is. But at the same time, while the masses are waking up, there's so many people that are falling deeper into sleep. It's almost like cognitive dissonance is completely taking over some people's minds. You know, those sleeping masses are becoming more and more asleep and are in many ways becoming more defensive in keeping themselves asleep. And that's kind of disturbing as well. It's almost like humankind is splitting into two different levels of consciousness completely. And though in many ways I think even that shell is going to crack in people, I think people get that way in a manner of self-defense, really. I think that's really what it is. You know, they're just not prepared to admit the truth because it's becoming too obvious and too painful for them. They really need to keep that little bubble in place around them. But the system is falling apart so much. The politicians are showing themselves as being the criminals that they are so much. I mean, the way this is just like a puppet show here in Australia, it doesn't matter who you vote in, they just replace them and put whoever they want in there anyway. How many unelected prime ministers we've had in this country now? I can't even keep count of them all. The last one was unelected. We got a new unelected one. God knows who the next one will be. And it doesn't matter who they are anyway, because the agenda never changes. And people sort of see that now, I think. They're seeing that it's just one big puppet show, one big charade. They're seeing that all these governments work together, and no matter who you vote in, nothing changes. So perhaps even the cognitive dissonance is going to break down soon, because things are really coming to a head. There's a huge outcry about 5G. A lot of people are talking about it. They came here to put a smart meter on the home where I lived the other day, and I turned them away, told them we didn't want to have a smart meter, and so they have to come back in 2 weeks with an old analog meter and put that on. And so that works, folks. You can do it. It works here in this country. People were telling me it doesn't, but it does, because I did it the other day. That's just the way it is, folks. If you're prepared to stand up for yourselves, it does work. And again, folks, we have to put down all our stuff. We've got to realize that we're in a state of clear and present danger. All this argument and all this judging each other and all these rabbit holes that we're running down and arguing about our belief systems, it's not getting us anywhere. Everything is wrong. Everything's a lie. And that's really the only basic truth that we need to know right now, because once we address that fact, all of the other truths are going to reveal themselves by default. We just have to get a little bit of focus. I think we've reached break time here, folks. I'll leave it there for now, and we're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so I think that stuff that I was talking about just before the break regarding the compass points and how Google Earth tells a completely different story to the standard maps that we've got, and both of them tell a different story to the azimuthal equidistant map. In fact, all of the maps that we're given are completely wrong. None of them work with each other anyway. Maybe one of them's right, but I sincerely doubt it, and the reality is that when placed together, none of them appear to work with each other. Very interesting stuff, and I'd be interested to see other people having a look at Google Earth and checking out those compass points. I find it quite fascinating. But coming back to reality a little bit, something else that I find quite fascinating is the way people are still following this whole QAnon phenomena and still thinking Trump is coming to save them. Trump has just pledged a $717 billion aid package to the rogue state of Israel, ladies and gentlemen. He's just done this as he's cancelled $200 million in aid to Palestine. Compare that aid that he's giving to Palestine anyway, $200 million compared to $717 billion he's giving to Israel. A little bit of a difference there anyway. So basically it's like giving the whole loaf of bread to Israel and not even allowing Palestine to have any breadcrumbs anymore, and people still think that he is a friend of the people somehow, and still think that QAnon is coming to save them. I'm seeing all this other stuff of thousands of pedophiles are being arrested and the mainstream media is completely silent about it. The point is, how do we know they're actually being arrested, ladies and gentlemen? We're hearing about it on certain internet sites, but we're not really getting any confirmation of it anywhere. But seriously, folks, look at Trump's actions. We've got new sanctions against Russia, new sanctions against Iran. The whole ship of state is sailing merrily forward the way it always has been. Nothing is changing on the ground. Trump is pulling America further and further away from Europe. Europe is becoming more and more overrun with migrants. Australia and New Zealand are locking themselves down into more openly declared police states than they ever have been. And everything just seems to be marching right along on track, the way it always has been. So people can keep waiting for the world to change if they think it's going to help. But I really would suggest that they get involved themselves and withdraw their support from a system which no longer supports them. Because that's how we're going to make the difference, ladies and gentlemen. And look, with whatever Trump is doing on the ground in America or whatever, folks, put it in perspective. Trump supports the state of Israel. Israel is a state that was founded on terrorism and was built on a lie. Look at the people who run the state of Israel, the European so-called Jews. These are Bolsheviks. Have a look at Bolshevism, what that did to the world. Have a look at the true Holocaust of 66 million Christians at the hands of Bolshevik Jews in the Russian gulags. Have a look at things such as Jewish ritual murder. I suggest people go and Google those words, Jewish ritual murder, and you'll find a lot of very, very disturbing information. There's actually a documentary, a reasonably new documentary on YouTube as well that I recommend people watch. It's called Europa, The Last Battle. Unfortunately, it starts off with the face of an individual that I do not feel comfortable in supporting. But if you can ignore that particular individual, the actual movie has a very, very good and very powerful message. And it shows very, very clearly what actually happened in Europe in World War II and who these Bolshevik Jews really are and how they've infiltrated the rest of the world. And it's very, very important that people understand this, folks, that people realize who these people are and what their history is. It's extremely important. And the fact that people don't know this information, the fact that people don't know the information of what happened in the Bolshevik-run gulags shows exactly who is in control of the media today. The simple fact that this knowledge is not known when it most certainly should be. When you think about that, it's very, very revealing, ladies and gentlemen. Very telling. And these are the people who are running the state of Israel. This is why they use such atrocious weapons on the Palestinians, and God knows what they do to the Palestinians they actually arrest and murder within the prisons, the ones who die within the prison system, because these people are not just killed. These people are brutalized and murdered in the most atrocious and creative of ways, because that's what Jewish ritual murder does, and that's what it's about, and it's something that has been ongoing for a very, very long time, and it's still ongoing. It's just that we don't hear about it. And just as a small example of it, you can go and research the assassination of King Ferdinand and his family in Austria and what was actually done to this family. And this entire execution was Jewish ritual murder. And it was absolutely brutal when you read about what was done to Ferdinand and to his wife and to his children. Absolutely hideous information, but that's it. It's out there, and that's what they did, and that's what they do. And as I said, it's an ongoing thing. It still happens today. And this is the state. These are the people that Donald Trump is supporting. If you look at the Kalergi plan of the migrant influx into Europe, this is a Jewish plan that was put forth, Coldenhove Kalergi, 1928. That's the plan, and it is going into effect now. This is what multiculturalism is in all of our countries. You bring the Muslims into the Western countries to create their sectarian sections, and then you play the whites and the Muslims off against each other. It creates an entirely unstable society within those countries. They all end up interbreeding. The whole race becomes one big, huge mishmash of goyim, and that's the plan. All the countries lose their original cultures. It becomes one homogenized corporate system with the Jews sitting above the whole thing, controlling the whole thing, because they keep their lines pure, remember, but they encourage all other races to breed together. And this is the whole thing. And this is who Trump is supporting. in the state of Israel. This is who Trump has just given $717 billion to, so they can continue to wage their terrorist activity around the world, continue to steal Palestine, carry out genocide against the imprisoned people of Gaza, all the stuff that's going on. This is the state that provably carried out the 9/11 attacks, is provably running the war on terror, is provably running ISIS, running Saudi Arabia, which is decimating Yemen, all of the stuff this country is doing. And this is the state that Trump is giving all of this money to. These are the people that Trump is supporting. This is the state that is getting precedence over everybody else. And people seriously think the world is changing? What is changing, folks? About the only thing that's changing is people are becoming more compliant, in as much as so much of the resistance is suddenly supporting the state simply because the state has a new face. Somehow they think that Trump is a truther when his actions would indicate anything but. Not only is he not a truther, he is the most supportive president of the rogue state of Israel. There hasn't been any other president that has ever supported Israel as much as this man is doing. I mean, how people could still think the state is going to save them from the state is beyond me, you know, but I guess people are in many ways in a state of fear and in a state of just desperation. You know, people are really hopeful that Trump is going to save them because they think, well, if he's not, then what are we ever going to do? And that's the thing, folks. What you're going to do is stand up for yourselves, and it's going to come to that anyway, no matter what happens. And that's what we need to do while we have the opportunity to do that. Because pretty soon we won't. You know, it's getting to the point now that we don't have the opportunity to do it because we just don't have the support of people around us to do it. And that's something that I really hope to see with the truth movement, the independent media, was this huge wave of unity, this huge wave of common sense to overtake the world. You know, it's been so sad to see it degenerate into a cesspool of infighting and accusations that it has in the last 3 or 4 years. It's been absolutely terrible to see. A huge gift to the system, but a really shocking thing to see happen to those people that are oppressed by the system, to all become enemies of each other and all to become so distrustful of each other due to their different belief systems. It's been absolutely mortifying, really, to see how easily people were driven into this type of mentality and led into this divisive mindset. You know, unfortunately, what I've found with the whole, I don't know what we could even call it. The truth movement, I suppose, is all we can call it, even though that's a terrible name. But what I've found in that movement is that there's an awful lot of ego involved. Once people get certain information, they consider themselves to be more informed than others, and they consider themselves to be above others, and they talk down to anybody who doesn't know what they believe to be true and whom they cannot convert to their belief system. And it all becomes incredibly counterproductive. And having that type of an egotistical approach to any type of information does not serve well to wake up the sleeping man on the street. And that's what we need to do. But many people, they'll get hold of the information and then they're not even interested in waking up the man on the street. They just let their ego take over and they start referring to everybody else as sheeple. That's not the way it works. That's not what we need. That's not what we want to do. We need these so-called sheeple, or as many of them as we can, to wake up to the fact that they're actually living in a people farm. And that doesn't work if you just walk around insulting them and telling them they're stupid because they don't think like you do. And even when we do approach these people, very often we don't present them the information in the right way, and we get incredibly frustrated that the world is not just waking up the way we wake up. You know, I don't think a lot of people are truly aware of just how asleep the general population still is. And I think many people are way too conspiratorial in their approach to the average man on the street. You know, the system is corrupt. It's obviously corrupt. It's obviously a puppet show. The politicians are obviously not serving the best interests of the people. And if you kind of stick to that and stick to just pointing out the obvious to people, you can kind of have a pretty good effect. You can kind of wake people up to the fact that the whole thing's a joke, and if we remove our support from it and simply say, hey, we're not going to do this anymore, then it's going to change. It's when we start getting too conspiratorial about things. We start pointing at the Rothschilds. We start pointing at even the Jewish control. I mean, all the stuff that I've talked about today. I mean, I share that sort of stuff with people on the radio show because, well, it's pretty obvious. But when you're dealing with people on the street, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that it's the Jews. Oh, it's always the Jews, or it's this, or it's that. Or they don't want to hear someone arguing about the shape of the earth. You know, what you're going to reach these people with is by pointing out the obvious that affects them. It affects their hip pocket. It affects their kitchen table. It affects their family life. You know, you point out the complete corruption and the joke and the slavery system that we're living in to them in an obvious enough way, and they kind of get it. And they begin to realize that we are the ones who hold the system up. I mean, I've had this sort of a conversation with so many people, and I've reached them in that way, and I've got them to think outside the box a little bit and just crack that shell a little bit. And then a few months later, they've come back and started telling me all this conspiratorial stuff that they found out because I simply cracked that shell and got them to think outside the box a little bit. You know, it's finding what's going to reach the average man on the street in a really non-conspiratorial way. Cracking a joke about a politician or looking at some new legislation in a really black humorous type of a way can sometimes have a really profound effect on people. And you don't have to be too conspiratorial about what you're doing. You don't have to turn on a fire hose of information and scare them away. Because that's not what we want to do with people. What we want to do is find a way of cracking that shell. You know, as I've shared so many times on the show, the fact that what this is a spiritual battle. And, you know, the risk of sounding new age or lame or religious or whatever people want to put on that. But helping people understand that is really key to the whole thing. You know, like all the time that I've said about standing in your personal power, standing in who and what you are, this is what this spiritual battle is all about. You know, realizing that we're just dealing with people here, as I've said so many times, I mean, I always come back to this because it's really key to the whole thing. Even with the Jewish control over everything, it happens because we've forgotten who we are. We just allow people to tell us what to do. That's the only reason the way government gets away with what it does is because we allow people to tell us what to do. You know, most people are basically good. Most people don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to hurt others. They just want everything to be okay. And they think that if they do what they're told, well, nothing bad will happen and everything will just be good and everyone will get along. And even if they don't really like what they're doing, well, it's maybe just best to do it so that everybody gets along. You know, everybody has this type of an attitude. And it's because we're naturally good, cooperative people. Human beings are. They're naturally cooperative. You know, many people will say, no, humans are basically bad. They'll rip each other off and they'll profit from each other and whatever. They won't. It's not like that at all. That's only a result of this slavery system. It's a result of this economic system, which puts people in a state of scarcity by default. And that's the purpose of the economic system, to create scarcity where there is none. You know, it's important that people see that. But left to their natural surroundings and left to their natural devices, you find that people are basically good. And it's returning to that spiritual awareness, that understanding of the basic goodness within yourself and the basic goodness within all people that causes a lot of these barriers to break down. You know, when these barriers do break down, it also helps you stand up for yourself. You know, I won't ever comply with this system. I just never will. I speak out about it the way I do in the hope that others will stop complying with it as well, but I just won't comply with it because it's criminal. It doesn't make any sense for me to do what I'm told by people who are obviously criminals and are obviously creating a world full of mayhem. It makes no sense to me at all to comply with a system like that. You know, to me, I'm just supporting organized crime, and I can't do that. I can't in all conscience support a system which is based in racketeering and organized crime. I just can't do it. So I've lived my life on the outside of society, and I've just never complied with it, and I have managed to kind of get away with it for some reason. I've just kind of floated through the world and I've remained mostly unhindered for doing so. And so I encourage other people to do the same. But I can appreciate that it's very difficult for many people to live their life the way I live mine. When I think about it, I live a pretty unique type of a lifestyle. I've just kind of floated around the place for the last 50 years and it's worked for me. I don't know why that is, but it has. But again, because I've lived that type of a lifestyle, all I can do is offer you the perspective that I've got. I'm not much good at providing mechanisms that are going to work within the system that most people can identify with because I've never lived within the system myself. So a lot of the mechanisms of it, I really don't understand. I mean, a lot of them I don't understand because I consider them to be fiction anyway. A lot of the stuff they write down on paper, I just consider this to be all fiction. It doesn't apply to me. Maybe some people will try to force me to comply with it at some stage. Maybe people will tell me it does apply to me at some stage, but as far as I can see, it doesn't, and it never really has. I mean, sure, the passport and driver's license and all that sort of stuff applies simply because it makes it easy for me to travel through that system if I carry these documents with me, but that's about all I have to do with it. So I'm in no way any type of role model or any type of choice to lead people out of this slavery system. Now, all I've ever done on this radio show is offer a perspective and attempt to help people to see the slavery system for what it is and help them possibly realize that there's a better way to do things. I mean, really, there's many better ways of doing things, folks. This is a slavery system. It's racketeering. Everything this government does is about control. None of it is about human beings being able to express themselves, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. All through my life, it's gotten worse and worse. So there's no way we can say we're progressing with society. And when you start really considering the concept of false history, the fact that there's a reset every few hundred years, like I said, then you begin to really see why this would be happening and how it's being done. As I also said on a few shows recently, I don't even think that this technology that we're using is new. I think it's all technology that's been here for a very long time. They just filter it out to us in dribs and drabs so we can see the rise of technology, so it seems all perfectly normal to us. But really, it's just this never-ending cycle, and I think it's just this same modus operandi that they use to put in place to control people at the end of each cycle. You know, it takes all their information from them. It lets you understand what the human zeitgeist is at the moment. It takes all their life skills from them, most certainly, and locks them into a system that you can simply switch off and lock them out of whenever you choose to. And even if it isn't a recycling thing that happens every few hundred years, even if this is just the first recovery that's kind of happened, the first growth that happened since they wiped out Tartaria and flooded the world, I would still suggest that the technology we're using now is technology that existed from that great society that existed before this one. And again, folks, the traces of this society are everywhere. Very interesting, a lot of pictures have been surfacing recently of great cities around the world around circa 1850, which appear to be very, very lacking in population. Big cities, big roads, big streets, big buildings, but very, very few people in the photographs. That's very interesting as well. And this would, of course, be reasonably soon after when the mud flood appeared to happen. And even calling it a mud flood, I mean, it's probably not even strictly true to call it a mud flood. What it more likely was a worldwide flood, a worldwide raising of the ocean levels. Perhaps this flood came from the north and flowed into the oceans, which is why it went across Europe. And that's why we see the traces of what appears to be a mud flood across Europe. I mean, who knows? It's just one possibility. But where it came from and was it intentional? That is the other question. And that's a very difficult thing for people to come to terms with as well, because I don't think people really understand the scale of mining operations that's happened on this earth and the scale of equipment that would be used to carry out such mining operations. You know, when we think of things, we think of ourselves as quite big, and we think of ourselves on a certain scale. But when you consider giants and the possibility of giants, we may think, oh, well, giants higher than 30 or 40 feet tall, they could never handle the Earth's gravity and rah, rah, rah. But really, we have no concept of what is or is not possible at all, ladies and gentlemen. All we've got to go on is the science and the physics that we've been taught by this system. And it's very difficult to place any real faith in any of it. Really, when you look at this system, folks, they've lied to us on so many levels. Much of our science, I would suggest, is even put in place to explain away things that are far more obvious if we were to look at them from an esoteric perspective. Science will simply explain them away and try to put them into a manner of calculus into a manner of left-brain understanding when I think that reality can be understood far more easily if one looks at it from a right-brain perspective. Perhaps that's something that we're missing with a lot of this as well. As I said, folks, this really is a spiritual battle, and really it comes from that knowing of who and what you are that is going to change everything. You know, once we get that inner understanding, they get that inner knowledge of ourselves, the whole system falls away. This is also something that I've been saying for 10 years on this show here. I mean, it's important to look at all this stuff and to look at what the control mechanism is, to see how we're controlled, to see the people farm that we're living in. But again, we always look for physical ways out of it, for physical applications that we can apply, rather than simply looking at it as a spiritual battle and applying spiritual understandings to this slavery system. Because when you do that, the whole system simply ceases to exist. And that might sound pretty esoteric to people. It might sound pretty impossible to people. And sure, it's impossible if just you do it on your own, because everybody else still believes the system's there, and so it is there. But if everybody gets this concept, or at least if a majority of people can understand this concept, grasp this reality, grasp this concept of who and what they really are, and how, if they understand that and apply it to the system simply fails, then the system will fail. And we won't need everybody to do it. It won't take the entire world to wake up to change the world. It'll only take a critical mass, but the critical mass needs to apply themselves to the situation. And that's the big downfall of both religious and New Age movements, is that they will give people the spiritual concepts that they need, very often the spiritual concepts that they need, but they'll fail to place any significance on the need to actually apply these understandings to the world that you live in. When really this is what all the great spiritual teachers have shown you, because it's what all the great spiritual teachers have actually done themselves. You know, spiritual understandings without any physical application lead nowhere. You live in a physical world, and you live in physicality for a reason. It's so you can participate in that physicality. And spiritual understandings without any physical or worldly application mean nothing within a physical worldly reality. This is something that really is so obvious, and yet it's something that people fail to see. You know, through all of the spiritual paths that people go down and all of the need to remove themselves of duality, they don't realize that they live in a physical world, in a world of duality for a reason. And that reason is for them to apply themselves to the situation that they're in. And that's the great test, because if you do that, the situation changes. Everybody can complain about the world, and everybody can see what's wrong with it, and everyone can walk down these spiritual pathways, but if they don't apply them to the physical world that they are currently inhabiting, then all of it is meaningless. And the doorway to freedom is right there. All we have to do is apply ourselves to the situation and choose to open it and simply walk through. Well, we have reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where it is the end of the show. Again, I will be speaking at Anacapulco in February. Please do come along to that event. It's going to be huge. They're expecting 2,000 to 3,000 people there. They've hired the entire Princess Palace Resort in Acapulco, Mexico, and it's going to be a massive event, folks. I do urge you to come along to that one. As mentioned before, you'll find a banner to that on my website, thecrowhouse.com. If you click that banner and go and buy yourself a ticket and use the coupon CROWHOUSE, you'll get yourself a discount on your purchase ticket. And that'll be the only event that I'm speaking at in 2019. I've purposefully not booked anything for next year because I really want to stay home and get my health back on track and get some work done on these films. There is a chance I may be doing some Cambo workshops in the LA region around about late February next year as well, February, March. I figure if I'm going to go to Mexico for Anacapulco, then I may as well stay for a month or two and go to the United States and do a couple of things up there while I'm in the area. But no talks or anything like that, just perhaps a few workshops with people. So that is something that I'll keep you posted as to my whereabouts as well. Again, thank you to all the people who send me so many kind emails, who send me so many kind messages. Thank you to all the supporters of the show. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. You are the ones who keep the show on the air. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. So I cannot thank you enough for that. But we have completely run out of time now, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.